probably conclude today on the fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. We last week saw that Christ, there are seven recorded healing miracles of Christ on the Sabbath day through Matthew through John. By the time we come to Christ, the Sabbath day, the seventh day, had been so misused, so much tradition had taken the place of what God had actually set the day apart for. Christ, no doubt, purposely healed on the Sabbath day, and every time he did, the Pharisees or the Sadducees, the scribes, were always there, and he healed, I believe, on the Sabbath for several reasons, but the primary reasons, one was to unmask the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of that day, concerning the Sabbath. But I believe even more so, and he no doubt was teaching his own people regarding that day that the Lord had set aside, reminding them that the Sabbath was for man and not man for the Sabbath. But those healing miracles to me show also what that day was all about, or what that day is all about. It's a day of healing. The Lord's Day is a day of healing. It's a day of liberation. Again, the miracles, the demon-possessed, the diseased, they were liberated. It's a day, of course, of blessing. And we spend most of our time last week, if we turn back there, just as way of review, Psalm 118, verses 22-24. And I believe these two verses, or three verses, are key to understanding the first day of the week. Sunday has this special day. In Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused, that's Christ, 1 Peter makes that very clear, is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. That is, that this stone is become the headstone of the corner. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, referring to when the stone became the headstone of the corner. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord hath made goes back to the fact this is the Lord's doing. This is the day the Lord hath made. As we said last week, most of the time, almost all the time, when you hear that verse preached, it is very general. And certainly there's nothing wrong with the application. It's very true that this day, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, is a day the Lord hath made. We should rejoice and be glad. And that's true of every single day. But that's not, and again, the application's there. But that's not the day. The Lord has something very specific in mind here, and it's the day that the stone became the headstone of the corner. So when did that happen? Well, Jesus referred to this passage in Matthew 21. We saw that last week, verse 42 and 43. But more importantly, Peter referred to it in Acts chapter 4 and also in 1 Peter chapter 2. But notice in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through verse 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Notice, whom God hath raised from the dead. This is the stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, referring to the religious leaders, which has become the head of the corner. So when did the stone become the head of the corner? Well, we saw last week, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record that the resurrection occurred. Well, from Acts 4:10, we see it's linked to the resurrection, whom God hath raised from the dead. This is the stone which you rejected and has become the head of the corner. And we saw that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all refer to the resurrection. They all mention. Spirit of God led each one of them to mention that the resurrection occurred on Sunday, the first day of the week. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was set aside as a memorial of creation. We see throughout the New Testament, again, the resurrection day, Sunday. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus arose on Sunday. Now, I've heard people say, well, it doesn't really matter what day Jesus arose. Oh, yes, it does. I mean, I realize it doesn't affect the benefits of the resurrection. I understand that. But it does matter. And the reason it matters is, and we know it matters, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all mentioned the day. Holy Spirit made sure that was mentioned, made sure that that was in writing. And this day is a special day in the fact that the Lord hath made it, and we should rejoice and be glad in it, as like in no other day. We should rejoice and be glad in every day of the week, but there is a special day in which there ought to be rejoicing. Again, it is a day of healing. It is a day of liberation. It is a day of blessing. And you should not allow anything to interfere with that day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something to celebrate. We would not be saved without the resurrection of Christ. We see also Jesus arose on this day. 1 week later, we see that he appeared to his church on that day. Well, the very day he appeared to his church, John 20, verse 19. And then a week later, he appeared again on a Sunday to his church, and he breathed on them, and they received what God had for them. So it is a special day. It is a special day. Without the resurrection, our sin debt is unpaid. Without the resurrection, God, the resurrection shows, it's a symbol that God the Father was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. It means that our sin has been put away. Not only the debt, but the sin itself. The believer is justified before God. None and none we can go. But it is a special day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So in John chapter 20, Jesus went to where his church was assembled, where the 11 were assembled, and also the two from Emmaus had gotten there as well. And Jesus appeared, and it specifically mentioned on that day, the very day of the resurrection. Now in the book of Leviticus, notice in Leviticus chapter 23, from Leviticus 23, We'll read verses 15 through verse 17. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, which is Saturday here, the morrow after the Sabbath, which would be Sunday, from that day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, the morrow after Saturday, Sunday. You shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. What he's talking about here is Pentecost. Pentecost. Now with that in mind, and again, that was going to be on a Sunday. So that takes us to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what day was that? It was Sunday. It was the day after the Old Testament Sabbath. It was Sunday. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. 120 of them. They were there on Sunday. Sunday. We see here, we want to pick up some principles of this day. We see they were all with one accord, that's unity, and they had assembled in one place. Sunday is a day of coming together for God's people. It is a day not only of coming together, it is a day of coming together in unity. And when a people does not come together, of course, that's a breach of the Sabbath. But we can take it even further than that. If we come together and we come together not in unity, that also is a breach of this special day. It is a coming together of the Lord's church, and it is a coming together in unity. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, Paul spent 7 days in Troas, and in verse 6 through verse 8, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them unto Troas in 5 days. So it took them 5 days to make the trip, where we abode 7 days. So they're in Troas 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, it was their habit to come together on the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. So it is a day of coming together in unity. It is a day of breaking bread, which symbolizes fellowship. And then notice what happened. Paul preached on them, ready to depart on the morrow, which would be Monday, and continued his speech until midnight. Now that's making use of the whole day. He met with the church there at Troas on the first day of the week, and it was a day when, again, they were come together. There was breaking of bread, there was fellowship, there was unity, and there was the preaching of God's Word. So Sunday is a day of coming together to worship. It is a day of coming together to hear the preaching of God's Word. All in celebration. Again, you have to keep in mind that this is in celebration, this is in memory of the fact that God hath raised him from the dead. We celebrate a lot of things. But there isn't anything more worthy to celebrate than Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And it's celebrated every Lord's Day. So that makes it a special day. Well, I hope you understand. I won't be there Sunday. It's Grandma's birthday, and it's today, and this is the day we celebrate it. That's pitiful. Because I don't care how wonderful your grandmother is, her birthday does not compare to celebrating what took place on the Lord's Day. Well, we'll be there in spirit. You know, I've never seen that. And I doubt seriously that you'll be the first. Well, what does that mean? We'll be there in spirit. You've got a body. The only way you can be here is in body, not in spirit. So that doesn't fly either. Well, what we mean by that is we'll be thinking about you. Not if you're at Grandma's birthday party. You know good and well what you're thinking about at Grandma's birthday party. You're thinking of Grandma. Not thinking about the Lord's Day. So it's a breach of the Lord's Day. Notice in 1 Corinthians 16, again, we see further use of this day. Verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches, plural, of Galatia, even so do ye, the Corinthian church. Upon the first day of the week, the first day of the week, that's Sunday again, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So it was a day of coming together in unity, in fellowship, to worship, to hear preaching. It was also a day to come together to bring our offerings unto the Lord. You know, the book of Malachi says, "Bring ye your offerings unto the storehouse." And I believe that's literal. Unless you're providentially hindered, sending them by mail is not the same thing. It says you bring them. You bring them. And I know people say, well, times have changed and there's certainly nothing wrong with by mail. That's true. If you can't be there, you send it by mail or you send it by someone else. But if you can be there, you're to bring it. You're to bring it. And it is a part of the worship service. This is why I have a problem. I don't have a... It doesn't matter to me how a church... Well, it does, but how a church collects their offering. Some pass a plate. Some have a box up front. Some have a box back by the door or back of the building. Therein I have a problem. And they'll say, you just drop in the offering, you know, when you come in or whatever. The giving of an offering is part of worship. It's not whenever. It is a part of our worship. And to me, if you're going to have a box, you put it up in front and you have a special time during the service where people come and give their offering. Well, what difference does it make? It makes a big difference because it's now a part of the worship service. Giving an offering is to be a part of the worship service. And we see here Paul is instructing the church to bring their offerings on the Lord's Day. Also, Revelation 1, verse 10. We've preached on this many times. Revelation 1, verse 10. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now I believe John was in the Spirit on every day. But this day was special. It was something special. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. There's a special preparation that must take place for the Lord's Day. Do you realize that, I mean, we all get in bad moods. Do you realize to get in a bad mood on Sunday is a breach of the Sabbath? It's a breach of the Lord's day. I mean, if there was ever a time you need to get out of your bad mood, it's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. I don't care what happened before we got here. We have to get out of the mood. It's the Lord's day. It's the day the Lord hath made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. There shouldn't be anything that we do that would put a damper upon the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Today, to honor the Lord. It is a special day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, some of your Seventh-day people will say, well, you realize in the book of Acts that Paul, after the resurrection, would go into the synagogues and preach. We fully realize that. Why did he do that? Because Paul was a missionary to the Jewish people. He was a missionary to people, and he would go into their services, and he would preach. But where was he come the first day of the week? He is with the Lord's churches. Every time we see the Lord's churches in the New Testament, they're meeting on the Lord's day. And that is our Sabbath today. That is this special day that God has set apart. And it is to be a day of delight. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is to be a day of happiness. It is to be a day of thanksgiving. And when it's not, we've done something wrong. We've done something wrong. We've allowed something to happen. That the day was not a delight. It was not a happiness. It was not a day of thanksgiving. Again, it's the day of days. It's the best day of the week. There is no better day. And it is the first day of the week. There is no better way to start a week than the Lord's day. So, briefly, the reasons for keeping the Sabbath. The rationality of the command, God has allowed 6 of 7 days for our own business. 6 days shall ye work. It's just the same thing with our money. God has allowed us to keep 90% of it. I'm just talking about tithes. He's allowed us 6 days out of 7. And He has reserved 1 day. And you know, there's this philosophy today. Well, it doesn't matter which day, because it just so we each take a day. That's nonsense. The first day of the week, over and over and over again, because it's connected with the day the stone became the head of the corner. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. Well, Tuesday works better for me. It doesn't matter what works better for you. It doesn't matter what works better for me. It doesn't matter. Sunday is the Lord's day. And again, the rationale of the command is God has given us 6 days to work, and He has reserved 1 day to set it apart for His honor. That's important to me. That ought to be important to every child of God, and every child of God, though our convictions may not be alike, some may go further than others. And to me, you can take it as far as you want. I'm not going to criticize for that. But to say, well, I've got to go work today. You need some convictions about this day. About this day. This day is not like any other day. The justice of the command, there in Exodus 20 and verse 10, the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It's not our day. It's His day. We tend to forget that. It's not our day. technically, no day is our day. But this day is not our day. It is, we are to live this day in a very peculiar manner. He has set a mark upon this day for himself, and it is to be reserved for himself. And that's why in Exodus 20 again, it is keep it holy. It already is holy. It already is set apart. We're to keep it that way. We see God blessed this day. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He set it apart. So the King of all has made it the best of days. We ought to look forward to the Lord's day. We ought to look forward to that day all week long. We ought to be preparing for that day all week long. People prepare for all kinds of celebrations, but the greatest celebration of all, they just stumble in. He has set it apart for spiritual blessing to his people. And he will not let the Sabbath to be a day of curse to his people. It's not, as we've said many times, it's not a day to punish us. It's not a day to curse us. It's a day set apart for our good. And you look at anybody, even a lost person, will be better off, their life will be better off regarding that day than not regarding it. That's always true. And I believe a business will be better off regarding that day than not regarding it. And again, whether it's saved or lost, there's a principle. There's a principle. And I believe a nation will be better off by regarding that day. In other words, you do not lose by observing the Sabbath. Years ago, I had a man come into church, get double time on Sunday. "Oh, it just cost me a lot of money, Pastor." He, preacher, that's what he said. "It's cost me a lot of money." I thought to myself, "You poor..." That's pitiful. That is absolutely pitiful. It's not costing you anything. But that's the attitude. That's the attitude. What, and how sad that is. He has made it a day of blessing. The world ought to understand that about us. Come Sunday, unless we're in the hospital, or unless we're deathly ill, or hindered providentially, we're going to be with God's people in the Lord's house. And we're going to come in a spirit of unity. And we're going to come in a good mood because we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a day. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for, again, your commandments. We thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you've given us, set aside for you, and day for us to reflect upon you and to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord, for giving us that day, and we pray for your forgiveness if and when we abuse or mistreat or misuse this special day that you have given us. Lord, help us to always regard it as your day. And Lord, we just pray today that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, that everything we say, everything we do, would be for your honor, for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.